The following sermon was preached at Soma Community Church, a church in Jefferson City that exists to build communities of transformed disciples who live for the glory of God by connecting people to Christ and community. For more information, you can find it at www.somajc.org.
Peace be with you. So good to hear your voices, even though I can't hear them, but I hear them in my head, which may sound crazy, but that's the Rona speaking, right? Hey guys, this is Pastor John. I am so glad that you are here with us today. I'm glad that you're joining us, and I'm hoping that you're able to praise and worship with your family at home. One thing I just want to say, just real quick to you, that we're coming up on Holy Week, and I know it seems really odd, but there's a week that we try to celebrate what's going on, and so I'm going to direct you to go to our blog every single day. I'm going to have a small little devotional on there you can do with your family, you can do by yourself. There's going to an activity you can do on there also. We want you to go to that blog. The blog link is right below me, and I want you to jump on and see what God is going to do over this week as we lead up to Easter. And here's one more thing. If you haven't already, take a quick second to invite your friends and your family to come to our Easter service, which will be online like everybody else's, but you can come online and you can look at it, hear it, invite it. We want it to be as special as it possibly can be in the middle of this pandemic. And I really think it's a pretty amazing thing. Now, I want to get into the sermon today, so I want you to grab your Bibles. Turn to Genesis chapter 50. We are actually ending. We're actually ending Genesis. Some of you guys, I can hear the screams right now of joy and adulation. But for others of us, we're just kind of like, man, I wish we could keep going. Maybe that's just me, but that's okay. We're going to get into it. We're going to land the plane on Genesis today. And if you don't know, again, my name is Pastor John Nelson. I'm the pastor of Soma Community Church. If you're new, I welcome you here. I want you to just follow along, grab your Bibles, and we'll see what we can do to get you going. If you have one of those hardback Bibles you took from our church, it's on page 44 is where we're going to start. Now, I got some questions, and I've been answering these questions all week long, and I want to answer those questions with you. You mind if we do this together? Here it is. The question is, do all things really work together for good? I mean, I went back over my sermons over this last year, and I can't tell you how many times I have quoted that exact verse, how many times I've said Romans 8:28. Of all questions that trouble the hearts of God's people, there's none greater than the question, why? I've heard it so many times just this week. Why? Why? No matter how many sermons I hear on the Bible verses, no matter how many Bible verses I memorize in my heart, the question returns again and again. Why the Rona? Why am I struggling right now? Lord, you didn't answer our prayers. And when I see the pain of the fallen world, we wonder, where is God? I've had that question so many times just this last week. Where is God? Over the centuries, the greatest minds that have wrestled with the problem of pain and suffering still have the questions, why me? Why now? Why right here? Why this? Why? A few months ago, when we kind of started our series, Joseph, I said that we're going to ask and answer a series of questions. And we have been going through and answering those questions every single time. And I hope you've been tracking with me because I want you to hear these questions as we've gone. But the fundamental questions really have been designed to be fundamental questions of life that we should answer. And you can go back over our sermons and look because they're right there in front of you. Do you know why you were born? Do you know who you are? Are you willing to wait for God? How big is your God? Are you ready to face your past, right? Are you satisfied with God is what we talked about last week. How will you be remembered? Here's the final question I want to ask in this series. And matter of fact, it's the big idea. It's the one thing that if you forget everything else today, I really want this to rattle around your brain. I actually made it a question because I don't want you just to fall asleep on me or click off or whatever. Matter of fact, I'd ask that you even post it and ask other people this question. It's a very simple question. Here it is. Can you trust God with the details of your life? Can you trust God with the details of your life? Like, honestly, can you trust God with the details of your life? We have to answer these questions. We have to answer the questions of can we actually trust God with the details of our life? Why don't you bow your heads with me and let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much for the reality that you are God and that you are good. I thank you that you are here right now alongside us. I ask that even in this odd setup where people are watching me on their TVs or their phones or mobile devices, Jesus, I just ask right now that we remember how good you actually are. And that in that, we trust you with all the details of our life. Father, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Oh God, my strength and our Redeemer in whom we trust. In Jesus' mighty name. And all those who agree with that would say, amen. Thank you for joining me in that. As Listen, as we journeyed through Joseph's story over these last few months, I've been impressed over and over and over again with the real hero of Joseph's story, which is funny because when we think of Joseph's story, we think of him as like the superhero, the mega prophet out there. We go, man, this guy is really, really cool. But the real hero of Joseph's story is God. I mean, if you really think about it, it's God. Joseph's life illustrates perhaps this better than any other truth in the Bible. And so I want to read Romans 8:28 because I think that really anchors us in what we're supposed to go today. And it's right here in my Bible. It says this, and it's so beautiful. I want you to hear it. It says, "And we know for the that for those who love God, all things," everybody say all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purposes. In many ways, Joseph's whole life is an Old Testament illustration of this profound New Testament truth. Deep in our hearts, we know that Romans 8:28 must be true, Christian. That's what we know. We understand it must be true in all things, but yet the question is still hanging in the air. We wonder why things happen the way they do. Why a teacher who went to the Middle East was shot and killed. Why a bus didn't make it home with the kids. Why the coronavirus is running around and raging. And here's the thing that's weird. Why a child is born with disabilities, or why somebody had to die or somebody didn't have to die. And when you look at all this, I just want to remind you the real hero of your story, the real hero of my story is God. It's God. Because Joseph had these exact same questions too. Why did these things happen? Why do things happen to good and decent people? You've said that, right? Why do they happen to people who love God? That's a bigger question, right? But listen, when you look at God's providence and you really define it for your life, you'll begin to understand it. You see, there's this big theological doctrine called providence. Say it with me, providence. And providence help us understand that if it doesn't answer every question, but at least provides only a possible basis for understanding. At least that. It's a doctrine of the providence of God. The English word providence is two parts. So the pro in the video, like you're watching on right now, actually. It literally means to see before. That's what providence means, to see before. And the word itself is not found in most modern translation. You probably, unless you're reading like the King James, the Authorized, if you may, or the New King James, something, you're probably not going to find in there. But it refers to God's gracious oversight of the universe. You see, every one of those words is important. God's providence is one aspect of his grace in your life. It's one aspect of his grace in your life. Oversight means that he directs the course of affairs. The word universe tells us that God not only knows the big picture, but he also concerns himself with the tiniest of details, like the hair on your head or my receding hairline, right? The tiniest of details. Here are five statements. I'll give you five quick statements if you're taking notes that unfold the meaning of God's providence in more detail. Number one, he upholds all things. If you're taking notes, write this down. He upholds all things. Number two, he governs all events. He governs all events. He directs, number three, he directs everything to its appointed end. He directs everything to its appointed end, even life. Number four, he does this all the time in every circumstance. All the time in every circumstance. Number five, God doesn't roll dice. He does not roll dice. The doctrine of God's providence teaches us so many important truths. And I just want you to kind of hear right now, because when I was writing these sermons out months ago, this was the title I came up with as we ended the book of Genesis. And who would have thunk? I surely wouldn't have thunk. Who would have thunk that right now we'd be in the midst of the coronavirus? Nobody. I wasn't sitting there in a coffee shop going, coronavirus, pandemic. No, but God in his providence said, hey, John, I want you to write this down. I want you to feel this and put it together so that you can be prepared to preach this at this time. It's his providence. You see, there's some important truths that you need to understand about God's providence. Number one, he cares about the tiniest details of your life. Nothing escapes God's view. Nothing escapes it. He's noticed his concern for everything that is small and big. My kids hate this about me. I'll walk around the house and I will see the tiniest thing. I'll see a cup in the corner or this, or I'll look at something like, my daughter the other day, my kids, I have decided that they never want me to be their teacher. And I think some of you that know me probably would agree with them. And so they're writing their stuff and I'll send it back to them and go, this isn't your best. Try again. And they'll look at me and go, what? And I'll say, well, this is off the line, or this isn't touching this. And they're just like, well, Daddy, I get it. It's a tiny detail, but details matter. And God cares about every detail. He knows the sparrow that falls. He knows the hairs on your head. He knows the grass that's not growing in my yard right now. He knows all of these things. He knows, he sets your birthday. He sets your death day. And he ordains everything that comes to pass in between those 2 days. God sees all the details. But number two, he uses everything and wastes nothing. He uses everything and wastes nothing. My dad is from Jamaica, and so I learned how to kill goats with him when I was a kid. And I remember, like, I would take stuff. I remember one time, we were cutting the innards out. If you ever field dressed a deer, you get the innards out. And I remember taking some of the innards and just letting it fall on the ground. And my dad said, boy, pick that up. And I was like, ew, no, I'm not going to pick up a lung or a heart or something like that. It was nasty, right? But my dad said, you don't waste anything. That goat gave its life for you. That's a lesson that I've really learned. You don't waste anything. If you ever ate chicken with me, you don't waste anything, right? And that's the thing. God doesn't waste anything. He sees everything. He uses everything. He wastes nothing. There are no accidents. There are only incidents. And this includes events that seem to be senseless tragedies that are going on even right now. But number three, God's ultimate purpose is to shape his children into the image of Jesus Christ. Listen, Christian, especially Christian, God is using difficult circumstances and moments in your life, even human tragedies, to accomplish that purpose. But why did that person die? I don't know. I'm going to tell you, I don't know. But I do know that God will use it to shape you to be more like Christ. But why is this happening? I don't know. But I do know that Jesus is going to use this to make you more like him. And the verses all over the Bible are all over the place that will teach you this exact truth. In Acts 17 and 28, it says, in him we live and move and have our being. In Colossians 1 and 7, it says, in him, all things hold together. And in Hebrews 1 and 3, it says, he upholds the universe by the word of his power. And in Proverbs 16 and 9, it says, the heart of the man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. And especially in Psalm 115 and 3, it says, our God, everybody say it with me, our God is in the heavens, but he does all that he pleases. The doctrine of God's providence, this thing that is kind of held over all the book of Genesis as we looked at Joseph, is really a combination of four attributes of God. Number one, it's this attribute that he is in control, his sovereignty. You've heard that word over and over, even in our title, he's sovereign. That he understands the beginning from the end, that the predestination of man, it says that he's in charge of how everything turns out. That his wisdom, he makes no mistakes. And then his goodness, that he always has your best interest, Christian, at heart. That God isn't sitting here like, let me mess it up. No. He has your best interest at heart. In the words of R.C. Sproul, I love R.C. Sproul. He says this, God does not roll the dice. Nothing happens by chance, ever. The providence of God is the invisible hand of God moving over all things. But let me kind of give you an illustration to understand this. Look at Joseph, right? This is the last time we're going to do it, but look at Joseph. Look at his life. It is, a hot mess, right? Joseph's life is a hot mess. His brothers splashed the coat of many colors after they got sick and tired of him. After he had some magical dreams, Joseph and his, he had some dreams, and so they threw him in a cistern, they threw him in a well, they sold him, they took his coat, splashed it with goat's blood, took it to his daddy, and said, "Your son is dead. Sorry, this is all that's left of him." Right. Meanwhile, Joseph is taken to Egypt by the Midianites where he was sold, and he was sold again. He was sold in this time to Potiphar, who was the head of the Pharaoh's security force. And Joseph gained favor with Potiphar. He rose up in the ranks. He did well as a slave. It was all good until Potiphar's wife got a little hot under the collar for Joseph and said, ooh, he's beautiful. She chased after him, and Joseph did what you're supposed to do when it comes to sin. He dipped. He did his best Usain Bolt impression. I'm out of here. He's gone. He's not sticking around. Potiphar's wife approached him and he said no to sin. He ran. Potiphar seemed to believe Joseph enough because he didn't kill him. He kept him alive, but he sent him off to prison. In prison, Joseph prospered once again. He rose up through the ranks in prison. I didn't even know there were ranks in prison, but he rose up through the ranks in prison as a prisoner, and it was actually put over all the prisoners. which is kind of cool. He actually found out that he could interpret dreams. And so there are two people from Pharaoh that had been put in there. He befriended them. And remember, he hadn't done dream interpreting before besides, you know, when he was a little kid earlier in his life. And so he interpreted their dream and said, hey, you're going to get out. You're going to die. It kind of sucks for you. I'm sorry, but I'm going to let you out. And God made those dreams come true. One of them did get out. The other one died. The one that got out, he said, don't forget me. Don't forget me when you go back to serve Pharaoh. Don't forget me. And when a couple years later, after being forgotten, because that seems to be his MO, it just kind of happened to him. He got out and he went in and Pharaoh brought it before him to interpret another dream. And he did. He interpreted that dream. And Pharaoh said, man, this is crazy. Matter of fact, since you know all this, I'm going to put you over everything so that you can keep it in our charge, keep it in our hand and make sure that we're good. And it's what happened. He became the prime minister of Egypt. 2 years passed. 2 years passed. 2 years kept going. And eventually the famine settled over the Near East. Jacob told his son, said, hey, go to Egypt, buy some grain, because we're out here. We don't know what to do. And not only did they not know that Joseph was in charge, they didn't know anything. And so this happens twice. Joseph reveals his true identity. They're shocked. Matter of fact, I'm pretty sure they're scared. Because they remembered how they betrayed him. And he was in a position to get even with them. We learned about that last week. But Joseph doesn't do this. As a matter of fact, if you want to just turn back a few pages to Genesis 45. 45. I'm read 5 through 8. It's just a beautiful passage here. I want to read it again. I want you to hear it because this is what it says. And now, do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land for 2 years. And there are yet 5 years in which there are neither plow nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you for the remnant on earth, so to keep alive you and many survivors. So it was not you to send me here. Listen right here. But God has, he has made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his house and ruler over all the land of Egypt. I want you to hear that. That's not the end of the story. See, Joseph sends his brothers back to Canaan and said, go get my daddy. Go get my daddy if he's still alive. And Jacob can't believe it. He's like, whoa, whoa, he's alive? So he makes the trip. He's reunited with his son, who he gave up for dead, who he had a whole funeral service for. And then he meets Pharaoh, who offers Joseph's family to actually settle in Egypt. He says, hey, you're his kin? Cool, come on in. And so they come in, and many years later, after all the prospering that's happened, after everything happens, they live in peace there for so many years, but eventually Jacob dies. And now his brothers are freaking out again. His brothers are like, oh, snap, daddy's gone. He's still in charge. He has the way to take care of him. And I get it because, you know, oh, by the way, before dad died, he told us, they went up to him and said, hey, by the way, Joseph, I know you're still in charge and all, but before dad died, he told us that you should treat us kind, which is kind of slick. It's kind of slick. I understand it. But Joseph didn't fall for the deception. No, he didn't fall for the deception to try to cover their guilt. No. He saw God everywhere. I want you to listen to Joseph's response. I want you to hear Joseph's response in Genesis chapter 50. We're going to start in verse 19. I want you to hear Joseph's response. It says this. But Joseph said to them, do not fear. Am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good to bring about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. Did you hear that? Am I in the place of God? You see, his answer is very, very simple. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Both sides of the statement are true. I want you to get it because sometimes we take these two positions and we go, well, this is one or the other. No. They're both true. No. Both sides are absolutely true. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. That's right. You and your perfect free will, you said, I mean this for evil. You are 100% responsible for sin. When you do something against somebody, you're responsible for it. Not God. Don't blame him. You did it. That's what we do all the time. We try to deflect it. But no. What you meant for evil, it's evil. But it doesn't mean that God can't take the evil actions of sinful men and accomplish his plans. Joseph saw the invisible hand of God at work in his life. He understood that behind his conniving brothers stood a God that was so much bigger that it orchestrated the entire affair in order to get him to the right place at the right moment to save his whole family. Do you get that? You see, when you apply God's providence to this, here's what Joseph is saying. Joseph is saying your thoughts and your motives are bad, but God's motives are good. He took years and years of God's purposes to become clear in his life. And at the end, Joseph saw the hand of God behind everything that had happened to him. Think about the implications of the statement. Think about it just for a second with me. At the right moments, the Midianites came along. At the right moments, Joseph's brother threw him into the cistern. At the right moment, he was sold to Potiphar. At the right moment, Potiphar's wife falsely accused him. At the right moment, he met the baker and the cupbearer. At the right moment, the cupbearer remembered Joseph a couple years later. At the right moment, Pharaoh called for him. At the right moment, he was promoted to prime minister over all of Egypt. At the right moment, Jacob was sent his sons to Egypt. At the right moment, his brothers met Joseph. At the right moment, it was the right moment that Jacob's family moved to Egypt. At the right moment, Pharaoh offered them one of the best lands called Goshen. At the right moment, they settled there and they prospered. All of this happened at the right moment. Are you hearing that? And in the right way, in just the right way, so that the people would be in the right place, and so that the end of everything would come out the way that God ordained it in the beginning. God never violated anyone's free will, yet everything happened as he planned it to happen. That's so beautiful, and that's the providence of God in action. At the right moment, Joseph was thrown into prison. At the right moment. You see, if we look with eyes of faith, we can see God's fingerprints everywhere, even in the midst of this pandemic. And listen, I'll be honest with you guys, I'm struggling probably as bad as most of you guys right now. I'm trying to figure out where God's hands are there, and I see his fingerprints in some places. I see his fingerprints in revival in the church. I see his fingerprints in using Facebook to make us all televangelists. I see his fingerprints in us having to evolve in the way that we use our technology. I see his fingerprints in the way that it's forcing us to love our neighbors well or just cloister up. I see his fingerprints. And so all of this, the true question still remains. Can you trust God with the details of your life? Can you trust God with the details of your life? But I don't think really, now that I've gone through all this and kind of stood here with you and me, I don't think that's the right question. I don't think that's exactly the right question. I don't think it's, can you trust God with all the details of your life? But will you? Will you trust God with all the details of your life? You see, there's another way to say this. Either you run the universe or he does. Choose. Either you run the universe or he does. A lot of people try to run the universe, but it never works out very well. It doesn't. Or you can bow before the Lord God of the universe and say, you're in charge. You're in charge, and I'm not. I'm going to trust you with every detail of my life. I'm going to be honest with you guys. I don't get it. I look at Joseph and I'm utterly amazed at his faith. I'm utterly amazed when I look at Joseph and I go, my goodness, look at this guy. He just loves God well. He looks at God and says, okay, I'm in. And I don't get it. It floors me constantly because he has a faith that humbles me. Because he looks up and he says, there's God. In the midst of his pandemic, he's going, there's God. In the midst of drought, he's saying, there's God. God is there. And when I look around, I go, my goodness, there's going to be some beautiful things we're going to do. Listen, as a church family, when we jump on the Soma blog this week, and as you get the messages on our social media, I want you to join in with us through technology, be able to do these devotions that are going to happen daily. I want you to join in and see what God is doing. But that's a choice. God is moving. He's moving amongst the saints. I was talking to a friend of mine. She had sent me a few texts, and though she's struggling with loss in her family right now, at the same time, she's seeing some amazing things happen where she is as a missionary. And she's starting to see God move in ways where people are starting to sit down and actually encounter their fans and their friends and their family. I've heard of countless people that are talking and saying, my goodness, I'm hearing things out of my family I've never heard before. I'm seeing things that my family had never seen before, but I'm also seeing on the flip side a lot of people fretting. And maybe you're fretting because you don't have hope. Maybe you're fretting because you don't really know what all happens. Well, I'm just fretting for my family. I'm not really fretting for me. Well, that's still fretting. Maybe they don't have hope. Christian, we shouldn't mourn right now. We should rejoice. God is doing something. There's a way that we can be great neighbors to our friends. You see, this is the statement. This is a statement of the testimony of every child of God. That God makes no mistakes. When we finally go to heaven, this will be our statement that we say. When we look back over the fabric of our life, we're going to go, my goodness, my God, look at him. He didn't make a mistake. I've heard people tell me, well, you know, John, Pastor John, you don't even know I was a mistake. I was an oops, baby. God wasn't sitting there going, I didn't know that was coming. I didn't even see him. No, he knew. He knows about you. He knows about you. And he has his eye on you right now. In the end, we'll all say as children of God, when we look back on this earthly pilgrimage, he made not one mistake. He made not one mistake. I don't want you to fear. Christian, give me your eyes right now. I don't want you to fear. Right now, it seems like a lot of fear should be happening. Don't do it. Don't succumb. Don't succumb. I want you actually to stay tuned because there's more to come. But we'll have to wait until we get to heaven. And when we look back, and we look at Joseph's life, we look at our life, Joseph will tell us the rest of the story in his own words. I look forward to hearing the rest of the story in his own words. And I can't wait to hear yours too, Christian. That's what we do. We place our faith solely in the beauty of who God is and his providence and his sovereign hand. Because at the right moment, he has you right where you are. Listen, if you're not a Christian and this sounds like sophistry to you, if you're just like, man, whatever, okay. You Christians are always running around about hope. I had somebody literally this week just go, if you talk about hope in my life one more time, I will cuss you, which is fine because they did. And that's okay. But here's the thing. It's okay not to be okay. It's not okay to stay there. Christians, we know this. And if you don't know Jesus, if you're on this line right now and you don't know Jesus, here's the thing. I want you to respond to him. He's calling you. And he has the details of your life in his hands. Matter of fact, there's some celebrities that went around and they started singing. And I love that they decided to sing this. They sang this good old song. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the itty bitty babies in his hands. He's got you and me, brother, in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. I love that song. It's such a simple song. It's kind of a goofy song, but in the end, it's a song that tells the truth of who God is. If you don't know Jesus, then you don't know that he has you in his hands. And he's willing to hold you. Are you willing to let him are you willing to let him run the universe and not you? You don't have it. Nothing against you. You're probably a great person. But you don't have the universe like he does. He's got it in his hands. Listen, today can be that day where you make that jump and you say, here, I want to put my life in your hands, Jesus. I want to put my world in your hands. As we get closer and closer to the day that represents your rising from the dead, where people literally are putting palms on the ground and saying, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. I want to today say that with my life, that you are God and that you are good and that you got the whole world in your hands. Will you trust God with all the details of your life? Listen, Christian, if you don't know that right now, I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes, and we're going to pray as we close. I want you to pray with us and begin to hear the goodness of who God is. And maybe today is the day that you choose to receive Christ into your life and change your world forever. Pray with me. If you don't know Jesus right now and you want to receive him, pray this prayer alongside us. Dear God, I humbly come to you, knowing that you run the universe and not I. I come to you today as a sinner, saved by your grace. Take me into your life. Make me into your image of your son, Jesus, so that one day I can be in heaven with you and look back on the story of my life and see your invisible hand. Today, Jesus, I choose to trust you with the details of my life. My hands are open, and I give it to you. In your precious name we pray. And if you prayed that with me, say those words. Amen. Amen. Now listen, if you're not a Christ follower, and you just pray that prayer, what the Bible tells me is that heaven right now is rejoicing over you. And here's what I want you to do. You got to tell somebody. I know you can't exactly go to your neighbor's house, knock on the door and be like, yo, I just received Jesus. Maybe you guys can do that. If you guys have social distancing, you can knock on it, run away 6 feet, yell at them, I got Jesus. That would be great. Especially if I'm your neighbor, because I'm going to turn up with you. But if that's not the case, listen, I want you to text the number below. Text the number that's in the chat right now. Text it and follow through. Find out exactly what the next steps are. We want to give you resources, follow up with you, let you know that God loves you and so do we. You need to have a church family. There's no Christian that does life alone. Every Christian comes together with a family because church is not like a family. It's a functional family. And so we're going to come together as soon as they let up with all this stay-at-home order, and please be following the stay-at-home order. We're going to come together and celebrate you with the next steps of baptism. We thank you so much for that. And I want to praise God with you. So let us know in the text below. Christians, will you trust him with the details of your life in these coming days, no matter how hard it gets? My answer is yes. And it's a scary one at that. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much for the reality that you are in charge and this universe is yours. Use all of the things that are going on right now for your good and our joy. And Father, take my heart, which is squeamish about all of this, and let it rest in you. Give us strength in the coming days. Help us, even if we were to catch this virus, to do so with your glory and for our joy. And Jesus, let us not live our lives fretting. Let us live in wisdom, knowing that you have it all in your hands. We do this for your praise and your glory. Jesus, in your name we pray. And all God's saints say, amen.
Thank you for listening to the audio of Soma Community Church located in Jefferson City. Feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for the content or alter it in any way without express written permission. For more information about Soma, please visit us at www.somajc.org.